24, 48 hours or so, is that the September call-ups are both Cags and Carter Jensen. We had J.J. Piccolo on the show last week, and you and I took it as, oh, this doesn't sound like they're for sure calling up Cags.
But that they're having a hard time deciding what to do.
And we both thought, all right, would they really call up Carter Jensen? Well, they did both. Now, they were able to do it if you're wondering how did the math work out, because J.J. last week said they were going to call up one hitter, one pitcher.
And they called up.
They called up three players. Well, that's because Jonathan India is on the IL. That's how they were able to do it. So Avila's up, Cags is back up, and Carter Jensen will make his big league debut potentially tonight. Now, I don't know what the lineup is. He can be a pinch hitter. I have no idea, right? But he will make his debut very, very soon in the big leagues. This is your top prospect at this point in time in your system, a top 100 prospect in baseball. It is another sign, though. Move the chips to the middle of the table again. That doesn't mean that it's going to work out, that they're going to make the playoffs, but they're doing everything possible without jeopardizing the future, going back to the trade deadline as well and how they operated, to be all in, to make the playoffs this year, while also positioning themselves still to be okay in 2026 and not jeopardize that season.
The way I view it is I refuse to be, and if you want to be what I deem to be the most negative version of a Royals fan on the planet, which is, well, it's not going to mean anything. Fine, I guess. Just be that person if that's who you want to be. And it is what it is, and that is life, I guess, as we know it. Because the truth is, I am happy that the Royals are trying. This is trying. Because if they're 2.5 games back right now of a playoff spot, which is closer than they were a week ago, although there's another team in front of them.
I'll say now, Texas is in front of them. That's the only
problem.
Yeah,
but again, my whole point on them the whole time was, it was always about catching the Mariners anyway, and if you catch the Mariners, I think you catch the Rangers, if that makes sense. I don't think I think that will take care of itself.
Hopefully,
maybe not.
The Rangers have won like 8 of their last 10 or something.
But yeah, anyway. Totally. But like in my mind, that's how it'll work. Maybe it's a flawed logic, but it's the logic I'm using right now, is that I am never, ever going to be mad at the team that you root for trying to win, especially in a small market baseball situation where this is it. And the truth is with the Royals is, it is still a long shot that they become a playoff team. We're in the final month of the season. They only have 4 weeks left of baseball remaining. But if they're going to do it, the upside on Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen is far higher than just sticking with your current major league roster. It is maybe the most left-handed lineup of all time. So I have no idea what the hell they'll do, Gold, when they're facing any kind of right-handed pitcher at all. Or, I'm sorry, any kind of left-handed pitcher at all. Adam Frazier's going to get a lot of work against any lefty on the planet. So I don't know how they'll fix that problem, because Cags is a lefty, Carter Jensen's a lefty, they already have Vinny in the lineup, and a million other guys who hit from the left side of the plate. But yeah, I'm excited to watch Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen. Carter Jensen, for what it's worth, if you guys haven't been following his career as much, obviously he's a local kid. He tore it up in Omaha, 288, 404 on base in 43 games. He also had a lot of power down there, hit 14 home runs in 43 games. And I gave you Jack Caglione's AAA stats. Since he's been back up, he's hitting like 400 with like a 500, like a 600 slug in that amount of time. So these are two guys hot right now, and a chance for Cags to get all the confidence in the world and the future catcher. And the small part of Carter Jensen that is really important is, I didn't want Salvi catching this much at the end of the year anyway. He's a better hitter, Gold, when he gets days off. If Carter Jensen can catch some and possibly provide you a lot more offensive than Luke Maley, I'm in. Sold.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how both Q and I'll say Salvi, because he's of course part of this almost decision making process as well. But just how do they navigate that? But also in general with the amount of lefties that they have in the lineup and how they make that work. You're right about Frazier and Massey. That gets simplified with the Jonathan India IL stint that's now happening, unfortunately for him. But how do they on a daily basis figure this thing out? And are we just going to see a lot of pinch hit at bats late in games where Cags comes off the bench, or even Carter Jensen's bat comes off the bench? It gives you some options there. But I don't think anybody's expecting Cags to just be the everyday guy at this point in time. That's something in 2026 that he'll obviously be the starting right fielder for this team.
Unless he gets hot, then I think he'll be
But I think they're going to play the hot hand. Yeah, I mean, if he gets called up and on a couple of pinch hit opportunities, or if he does get the nod in the lineup in the next day or two, and he hits well, they're going to want to ride that train as long as possible. He still provides something that not many people in the lineup have, and that, of course, is pop, the home run potential. That's why the call-up here still makes sense, even if you think the average is not going to be there and it's something that's going to have to be worked on more in terms of his swing in the offseason heading into 2026. But I'm happy they did this. I'll admit, I did not think this was going to be the move that they made based on our conversation last week with JJ, but I'm really happy that these are the two guys that they called up.
The way I look at it, and the same thing that you said, is like, it's Cags can play himself into an everyday player immediately. They let Adam Frazier become an everyday player. Go when they traded for him, like 2-3 days a week, 3-4 pinch, defensive efforts, pinch running, maybe a pinch hitting situation, depending on the matchup. They were not intending on playing Adam Frazier every single day. Go, then he got hot. Then he's one of their better hitters since they traded for him at the All-Star break, and so they played him every day. If Cags hits, he'll be in the lineup every damn night, unless it's a lefty probably on the mound for the starting pitching, unless it's after the seventh inning and they want a defensive replacement.
Someone over on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line asked the question, this, of course, 913-586-7965. They said, hey, are we worried if Jack isn't better this time around that he's not who we thought he was, basically? I still think it's more about next season. So, yeah, what I would love for him to come up now in September and absolutely just rake. That would be awesome. And also, if he does that, they make the playoffs. Like, seriously, if Cags comes up and he rakes and all of a sudden in the next month he hits multiple
homers.
Like he
did in AAA?
Then yeah, they're making the playoffs. But no, in terms of bigger picture, the question you're asking on the text line, do we know who he is, what he is for sure by the end of September? No. It's got to be all of 2026 before you can start freaking out about whether or not he's that guy or not or anything like that. So it's still about 2026 for him, but let's see if he can't provide something for this team and, build some confidence heading into the offseason.